We're doing our alumni learning, and we're up to the Kof Amud Beis, right? Right. And I think we have to start from here again. Okay? Amar Rav. Again, Bnei Adam. One line from the Banu. We did this last time. We have to refresh our memories. Bnei Adam shekidshu bebet haKnesset. People who made Kiddush and Shul. Amar Rav. So Rav taught, Yedei Yain lo yatzu, Yedei Kiddush yatzu. They did not fulfill their obligation with regard to wine. They did fulfill their obligation with regard to Kiddush. Shmuel amar, af Yedei Kiddush lo yatzu. Shmuel says they didn't even fulfill their obligation with regard to Kiddush. Ela l'Rav lam l'kiddushei b'beitei. So according to Rav, if they didn't fulfill their obligation of wine, so why make Kiddush again? If they fulfilled their obligation of Kiddush, so then why do we make Kiddush again at home? Kedei lotzi banav u'bnei beito. In order to be motzi his children and bnei beito. So before we... Okay, we'll read one more line and then we'll review it and try to understand what we're talking about. B'Shmuel, lama li l'kedusha bebei kenish? Then according to Shmuel, why do you make Kiddush in Shul if you're not yotze wine or Kiddush? La'apuk e'ochin yidei chovatan, to be motzi the guests, de'achlu v'shatu v'ganu bebei kenish, because they eat and drink and sleep in the Shul. Ve'az de Shmuel et'amei, Shmuel goes in line with his own reasoning. De'amar Shmuel ko Shmuel tu'ot, and kiddush ela b'mkom suda. You can't make kiddush unless you're going to eat there. So according to Shmuel, we make kiddush and shul for the guests. We're going to eat there. They used to eat in shul. The public guest house used to be in shul. It used to be common practice that if you went to town, you needed a place to stay, you'd go to shul. And when everyone would leave shul, people would pick up guests as they left shul. My grandfather still tells me that he did it. My wife's grandfather also. So in Europe, this was common practice. They used to have benches in the back of shul. People used to sleep there. And as people left shul, they'd pick up guests and bring them for the meals. Yeah?
It kind of happens, yeah. You leave the shul and the locals there. You see that you should have gotten it, like, skinny in there.
So over here, a lot of the guests ended up eating in shul. No one took them in. So then those people didn't have wine with them. So they instituted, you make Kiddush and Shul, and we mentioned that Shulchan Aruch already brings that in Chutz Laretz they have this custom, in Eretz Yisrael they don't, that they make Kiddush and Shul. So let's see Rashi first. It says, people who made Kiddush and Shul, Amar Rav, we have Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So whenever we have Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, who's the Halacha going to be like? The rule is, Halacha Kerav Be'isurei. Anything that pertains to an Isur or a Mitzvah, the Halacha is going to be like Rav, and the Halacha is like Shmuel on Mamonos. Rav and Shmuel were disciples of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, of Rebbe. Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor. Shmuel was also a top astronomer. He's sometimes called Shmuel Yarchino'o, Shmuel who liked the moon. Shmuel mastered the sky. Shmuel used to say, I know the streets of Nahardo'o, the Babylonian city, like I know the sky, like I know the streets of Narda. That's how well he knew the sky. So you ask, oh, well, why? What was Shmuel, this big rabbi, doing knowing all the shortcuts in Narda? What's that his job? So the answer is, because he was a doctor. When you're a doctor, you have to know all the shortcuts, because sometimes, you know, getting to a place on time could be a matter of life and death. So Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor. Rav was Tanohu Pali. Rav learned by Rebbe, and he could argue with Tanoim. Rav was that generation that was on the border, on the scene. So the people who made Kiddush in Shul, says Rav, Randaf Kuf Amud Beis, Yedeyayin, you could say they're not videotaping us, we're fine. Yedeyayin lo yatsu, Yedey Kiddush yatsu. They did not fulfill their obligation of wine. Says Rashi, Yedeyayin lo yatsu, Shem Yeshlem Yayin lishtot beveitam. That if they have wine to drink at home, chayvim levarech borei pri agafen. They have to make a blessing of borei pri agafen. Sheinam pturim beberkat hakos al shtiat yain or shtot yain belo bracha meachar shakru mimkoman. So what is Rashi saying? They didn't fulfill their obligation of the blessing of borei pri agafen because they left the place they made a borei pri agafen. So you can't say, I come home, I'm going to drink more wine based on the blessing I heard in shul. The kiddush you heard in shul, Rav holds, you were yotzei kiddush. But you want to continue drinking wine based on your blessing in shul, you can't do that. Now this is a mistake that people sometimes make. They hear kiddush from the Baal HaBayis, everyone answers amen, he drinks, and then they start talking. And then they get their cup of wine, you know, they pass around the wine, they drink from it. You can't drink from it, you spoke. You were yotzei kiddush, because he made kiddush for you, and he drank before talking. But you can't drink based on his birkas hanemin. Kiddush has two blessings in it. There's a birkas hamitzvos, there's a blessing in which we sanctify Shabbos. When Shabbos enters Friday night, we say, Baruch atah Hashem lukenu meyoch olam shekidushon memitzvoso v'rotzavonu. V'shabbas kocho ba'avov ratzon hinchilonu. We're sanctifying the day that just entered. That's a blessing of Kiddush. We also make a blessing on the wine. That blessing on wine technically is the birchas hanenim. It's a blessing like any food you're going to eat. But what? Being that it is connected to the Kiddush, so the Rishonim write, it is a birchas hanenim that also has certain aspects of a birchas hamitzvos. How so? Let's say you make Kiddush and in walks in a guest and he needs their Kiddush and he doesn't know how. So ordinarily on birchas hanenim we would say, if you already made your birchas hanenim, how could you make it for him? Let him make it. But we're more lenient with the blessing of Boruch Pri HaGafen of Kiddush, because we say this is a birchas hanenim that's really a part of a bigger birchas hamitzvos. It's part of the bigger Kiddush, which is a birchas hamitzvos. You guys with me so far? Okay, but that's all good and dandy. It's still a birchas hanenim. I was once a guest by someone, they made Avdallah. And after they made Avdallah, they started talking, and then they took a sip from the wine. Where do we see this most often? In weddings. The rabbi makes a blessing, Baruch Pri HaGafen, and then he makes the blessing, Asher Kiddushon Mitzvos V'Ala Arayos. He makes the blessing that is really the Birchas HaMitzvah on the Chosam being Mekadesh the Kala, on the Kiddushin. And then the couple's supposed to drink from the wine, and meanwhile they're schmoozing. So they just made a Birchas HaNenim, they made a Baruch Pri HaGafen, then they spoke. Technically, before they could drink, they should make a Baruch Pri HaGafen again. Now, before our wedding, I told my wife, don't talk under the chuppah, remember. And when the rabbi says a Baruch Pri HaGafen, remember that he's making it for you and me. We're both going to drink based on that bracha. He's making it for us. Because who thinks about that? The Chasen Kala, they feel like, oh, this is all part of the scene, right? No, it's a Birchas HaNenim. It's Birchas HaMitzvahs. It's blessings based on which we're going to drink. So here I am at this guy's house. He makes Abdullah. And just after Abdullah, before he drinks from the wine, he has to reprimand one of his kids. Don't do that! Now he's going to drink. I did a bris a few months ago, and they had minhagim that I never saw before. They never saw it before either. They downloaded it off the internet. This is their, from wherever they come from, somewhere in a Sephardi neighborhood, this was their minhagim. They downloaded some kind of minhag on how to do the bris. So fine, it doesn't affect me, you know, the slicing is all the same. But their order of things is a little weird. So I'm accustomed that I'm the mole, I'm supposed to tell the guy how to make the brachos. But they said, no, it's based on our pamphlet. We do it like this. So they give this old man the brachas, and they say, okay, now say this, now say that, now say this, now say that. And I don't know when they're finished, you know. They're giving me a whole different thing than I'm used to. And it ends up that the guy made a Baruch Pri HaGafen, and then he made the bracha. And then they're saying all kinds of things. Really, he should drink. He made a bracha. Yeah.
After that, you make another blessing anyway after the wine, no?
You make one of the blessings of Abdullah's Baruch Pri HaGafen, and then you make the bracha that it's connected to. Hamad Levan Kodesh Lechol. But you're not allowed to talk. Meaning between
the second blessing is not
a hefsek, no. So wherever Chazal aligned the Baruch Pri HaGafen with the Birchas HaMitzvos, like when we get married, like a bris milah, like benching, or benching is not a good example, but like a kiddush, so there, that bracha that's aligned is not a hefsek, but any other speech is a hefsek. So this guy spoke. Now technically, he can't drink without making another bracha. He just made his first bracha lebatala. But that doesn't nullify his Abdallah. So I was Yotze Abdallah, but I felt bad for him because he didn't know it. You know, he was going to drink, and the same thing with this bris. Like the guy made a bracha, and they're guiding him through everything, and they were wrong. You know, you can't keep adding things. There's the Baruch Pri HaGafen, and then there's the bracha and the name calling. You want to do the name calling with it, fine. But at the end of all that, he's supposed to drink. Instead, everyone's talking and doing everything. And at the end of the bris, he's still holding his cup, wondering, what am I supposed to drink this, right? So like 10 minutes later, they notice the old grandfather's still holding the cup. So what do his grandchildren tell him after he's been talking to everyone? Drink, Grandpa, drink. He's not allowed to drink. He has to make another Bor Pri HaGafen. Meaning the Bor Pri HaGafen, even though the Birchas HaMitzvos is not a hefsek, but any other talk is a hefsek. So here, what Rav is saying, even though I hold that when you hear Kiddush and Shul, you were Yotze Kiddush, but when you go back home, that bracha Bor Pri HaGafen that you heard in Shul, that's it. It stays in Shul. You're not Yotze that for the wine you're going to drink at home. So that's Rav's Shita. Shmuel says, Af Yedei Kiddush Lo Yotzu. They didn't fulfill their obligation of Kiddush either, because Kiddush has to be made B'makom Suda. You have to make Kiddush where you're going to have the meal, and they didn't need anything. Now we mentioned the Shita of Rishonim that say that the revius of wine is considered a makom suda. We discussed it last week or 2 weeks ago, then in Rosh Hashanah this is relevant. Sometimes you don't have a kazayis teat. Tosus here quotes a pasuk which is very interesting. He says, the pasuk says, it's very interesting that Tosus quotes a pasuk, and Tosus gives us a little bit of an insight. We'd ask, Kiddush b'makom suda, is that the orais or drabanan? Right? How careful do you have to be with that? I mean, obviously we keep the orais, so we keep drabanan. But where does it come from, this concept? So Tosus quotes a pasuk in Navi. He says, top Tosus on top left, V'karata la Shabbat oneg, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, you should declare the day of Shabbos a day of joy. So from here we derive the din of oneg Shabbos, that you're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. Tosus says, we divide up the pasuk, Koloma, Dinkom kriyat kiddush, V'karata la Shabbat, meaning where you declare Shabbos. Where are we declaring Shabbos? In Kiddush. Kiddush is where we're declaring. Now Shabbos is beginning. Shamtei oneg, there you should have the joy of eating the meal. Okay, it's a nice drasha. The question is, what weight does this drasha have? Where did Tosfos get that from? Okay. Says Tosfos, let's go back to Tosfos on the bottom right. Let's do first Tosfos, Yedei Kiddush Yatzu. Af al pi shelo shatu. Rak sheyitom hamvarech. How are they yotzei kiddush? Even though they didn't drink from the cup of kiddush, and this is how we paskin in halacha. Really, you don't have to drink from kiddush. I always tell the guys, when you're guests at people's houses and they're all drinking from the cup, passing around the germs, you don't want to drink from that cup. You don't have to drink from the cup. The guy who made kiddush drink from the cup, that's enough. Afal pi shelo shatu, even though the people didn't drink in shul, the guy made kiddush in shul for everyone, and they didn't drink. But the guy who made the bracha has to taste, or afilu echad mehim, or one of the people that he made kiddush on their behalf has to taste. That's what we do on Matzei Shabbos of the 9 days. A little boy tastes from the wine, right? So long as he's of chinuch age. Kidemuchach basof b'kol ma'arvim. V'lechatchila tzarich sheitamu kulam. V'lechatchila says Tosus, everyone should taste. And the Shulchan Aruch also quotes this, that it's a preferable way to make kiddush that everyone tastes. So that's why we do give out to everyone. But again, that's provided that they don't talk. If they talk after Kiddush, they're not allowed to drink without a new bracha. V'nireda halacha k'shmuel. It would seem the halacha is like Shmuel, even though ordinarily we said, who's the halacha supposed to be like? Rav, because halacha k'rav b'yisurei. Here says Tosus, it would seem the halacha is like Shmuel. Da'amar in kiddush el abimkom su'uda. Shmuel holds in Kiddush has to be in the place you eat. And even though ordinarily the halacha is like Rav when it comes to Yisurim, and Rav Yochanan also holds like Rav, as we will see later on in the Gemara, and we have a rule: Rav Rav Yochanan halacha k'Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan is bigger than Rav, and Rav is bigger than Shmuel, and Rav and Rav Yochanan disagree with Shmuel. So you have two reasons to pass him not like Shmuel. Meaning Rav is bigger than Shmuel in Isurim, and Rav Yochanan is bigger than Rav in everything. Rav and Rav Yochanan, halacha is like Rav Yochanan. Halacha halacha g'Shmuel. Here, nonetheless, the halacha is going to be like Shmuel. Why? De Ravuna v'Rabba v'Abaye kulu savui b'samuch en kedusha l'bemkom seudah. Because we will see the stories that the Gemara will bring us on page Kuf Aleph will show us a bunch of Amoram that they all hold that Kiddush has to be in the place of the meal. Okay. Continues Tosus and says, how does it work? How do you make Kiddush if you plan on eating elsewhere? How does the guy in Shul make Kiddush for everyone else if he is not Yotze, because he has to make Kiddush at home? So how is he making Kiddush for everyone else? Yachol lotzi ito ochlim sham. He could nonetheless make Kiddush for everyone else. For them, it's considered the place of the meal. They're going to eat the meal there. So that's a nice chiddush. That means if I come and I want to make kiddush for other people, let's say I come to an old age home and I have to make kiddush, or in the hospital. You know, whenever I'm in the hospital, I go around the wards and I make kiddush for everyone because you have all these nurses and doctors working and they don't have time to make kiddush. They have a second to hear kiddush, but a lot of nurses won't make kiddush for themselves. So I help the rabbis of the hospital, and one of the things, if I have the time, I make kiddush. I go to the different stations and I make kiddush for the nurses. So the question is, do I have to eat in each place I'm making kiddush? Tells us Tosfos, even though you're not eating, but they're eating there. If they're eating there, if it's a kiddush makom suda for them, that's enough. V'chein mashma, v'mistam echad mimneir, haya mekadesh bebet ha-kneset. He says that's what the Gemara seems to say. Because who's making kiddush? Obviously one of the people of the city. But some of the Rishonim don't agree with Tosfos. Some of the Rishonim say, no, they don't honor one of the guests to make Kiddush. How could it be that someone else is making Kiddush for them? And this is a sugya over here, and it's also a sugya in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah discusses they'd allow the village folk to hear the Megillah early, so that they'd be available on Purim, meaning people didn't have their own Baal Kori. They'd come into the big city on Monday and Thursdays. So the rabbis made a special leniency that they could hear the Megillah on Monday and Thursday, whichever one came before Purim, the one that was most adjacent to Purim, because this way they didn't have to make a special trek to the city on the big day, and they didn't have anyone who knew how to read. So the commentaries over there ask, wait a second, who's reading for them? Someone from the big city. Someone from the big city, it's not his mitzvah today. He's not from their village. How could he read it for them? So we have this concept in halacha sometimes, that if it's your day, even if it's not my day, I could do it. Ordinarily we say, in order for me to do something for someone, I have to be chayav in it. Meaning, let's say the father of the house is away for Shabbos, so very often the mother doesn't feel comfortable making Kiddush. She asks one of the kids, you make Kiddush. Right? One of the boys. But if that boy isn't bar mitzvah yet, he's not chayav midoraisa. The mother is chayav midoraisa, right? So he can't make Kiddush for her. In order to be motzi someone, the general rule is you have to be chayiv in what you're being motzi. You can't be motzi something and something you yourself aren't chayiv. But there are exceptions. So Tosfos says this is one of the exceptions. Here it's not exactly an exception. He's chayiv. It's just that he's not yotze. He's doing an action that for himself he's not yotze because he's not going to eat here. But here we have to delve into a deeper question. Is he not yotze at the moment he makes kiddush because he knows he won't eat? Or is he only not yotze when it turns out that he didn't eat? Meaning he could always eat here. He's making kiddush. He's making kiddush at that moment. He could still have a rogalei. He could still eat. So maybe that's why he's yotze and he could be motzi then. Because technically at the moment of kiddush, he has potential to be yotze. The fact that he knows that later he won't eat and then that kiddush is nullified. Okay, but who says it nullifies it for them retroactively? You guys with me?
Yeah, just a question for him, that if he thinks in his mind he doesn't want to do kiddush, he doesn't do this up in him, and then he decides after making kiddush that he wants to eat, and then there's it's like the kiddush. So then what is it? Then can he eat before kiddush?
I don't know what we'd say there. Okay. Tosus, the rest of Tosus is very important for us. But it's built on the next sugya. So we're going to, maybe if we remember, we'll come back to this Tosfos. There's a Tosfos quote Yerushalmi, Rav Natranaygon. This is all very important, but we'll come back to it. If you guys remember, remind me. When we finish the sugya, we'll have an easier time understanding the rest of Tosfos. Yes?
In Europe right here, there's some communities, they... I mean, you do kiddush and shul before chatzot, and actually you come home after chatzot sometimes. Then you are chayav to eat something in the shul already?
Yeah, you should. I mean, what we're talking about is kiddush Friday night. Okay. You're talking about kiddush Shabbos day. Okay. So Shabbos day or on Rosh Hashanah, people should eat, yeah. And when they hear kiddush, they should eat it kazayis. The problem arises on Pesach. Because on Pesach, you don't have people who don't eat kibroks don't have mizonos cake. All the cake is shehakol. So how do you make kiddush and have a makom suda? You know, shuls like to have their shul kiddush every Shabbos. So come Shabbos of Pesach, if people don't eat kibrok, how could they make a mazonos? How could it be makom suda? That's where you have a big problem. Those people don't eat kibrok. It's not my yeki, I eat kibrok. It's not a problem. I'm saying the...
What's kibroks?
Kibroks is when you get matzah, you use matzah meal, matzah flour, you get matzah wet. Kibrok says, if you use matzah meal, you could have mazonos cake. You could have.
Right.
You use matzah meal. But those people don't. Yeah. Okay, next tosis. Yedei yain lo yatsu. Bechayavin leverech bebeitam bore pri agafen. Mishum shinui makom. And when they get home, because they switched places, they're no longer in the place they originally made the birchas hanen in a bore pri agafen. They have to make a new bracha bore pri agafen. Aval mashmaim kidesh bebeito al shulchano. But it seems from this Gemara, says Tosfos, that if you make kiddush at home, you don't have to make another bracha on the wine that you'll drink in the meal. Even though we're dealing with Rav's opinion, Rav holds you can make kiddush not at the place of the meal. According to Rav, kiddush is its own entity. It's like the shechiyonu of the Yom Tov, right? Yom Tov comes in, you have to make a shechiyonu, you made it to Yom Tov. Right, we make it over Kiddush if we can, but let's say you missed it on Kiddush, so you make it whenever you can. Yom Kippur a few years ago, just as we're finishing a Suda Mafsekis, about to bench, one of the kids developed a fantastic rash. Suddenly their body is getting covered with this rash, and we had to run to the doctor to see what's going on, what we should do, shouldn't do. So we didn't even bench. We ran from the Suda of Sekus looking for a doctor. So everyone's standing, call Nidre, and I'm running to the shul looking for a doctor. And finally, we find the doctor. He tells us what to keep an eye on. Fine. We come back home. We bench. That's Doraisa. You know, call Nidre isn't Doraisa. I come back to shul, and I'm late, of course, right? I missed the Sheikh Yonu of the beginning of Yom Kippur. And I'm catching up on Myriv. It's not exactly the way you want to start Yom Kippur. You know, I'm catching up Myriv. And the next day, it dawns on me, sometime during the davening, I didn't make a shechion on Yom Kippur yet. So I'm walking home, I think from Shachris or Musaf, and I realize I didn't make a shechion yet. So I stop in my tracks before I forget, and I make a shechion, because that's not halacha. We ordinarily make it in shul at the beginning of the day. We ordinarily, if it's not Yom Kippur, we make it in Kiddush. But the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha says, if you remember, the shechion is over the holiday. So at any point during the holiday, you can make it. So Rav views Kiddush the same way as the Shechiyonu. Rav says Kiddush is the type of thing, you could be standing in the middle of the street. Shabbos settles in, pick up that cup of wine, make your Kiddush, you sanctified the day, great. Shmuel says, no, Kiddush is a part of the meal. You can't just make Kiddush anyway. Kiddush it has to be with the meal. So Tosfos says, wait a second, according to Rav, the whole reason why he says you don't have to make another blessing on your wine in the meal, the reason he says you have to make another blessing is because you left shul, you went home, you changed locations. But let's say you were home. You walked home and said, everyone gather around. Your wife says, but the meal's not ready. It'll take me another half hour. You say, never mind, dear. The halacha says we make Kiddush when Shabbos begins. I just came home, let's make Kiddush. By the way, that is the halacha. Just like at the Seder night, on Friday night, and on Yom Tov night, you're supposed to make Kiddush at the beginning of Yom Tov. So you gather everyone around, you make Kiddush, everyone drinks a little bit of wine, and then you go do your things, until the meal's ready. Another 5, 10, 15 minutes, you go up to read your Gemara, whatever it is, and your wife is finishing the meal. And now, says Tosfos, when you come to the meal, you don't have to make another bracha, according to Rav. The whole reason you have to make another bracha was because you switched places. Then wait a second, according to you, Rav, if I'm still at home, even though I didn't do it adjacent to the meal, I don't have to make another bracha pri agafen? And according to Rav, Kiddush is like the Shechiyonu. It has nothing to do with the meal. We just saw the earlier Tosfos that the halacha is not going to be like Rav. But Tosfos says, going with Rav's reasoning, Inken, Hivdil al Shulchano. Let's say a person made Avdalah. And he's very organized. He eats his Shavuot Sudas at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then Matzei Shabbos comes at 8 o'clock at night. He gathers everyone for supper from Lava Malka, makes Abdullah, and goes straight into Lava Malka. That's the way they used to do it, by the way. Their Abdullah would lead them right into the Lava Malka. You see that in the Gemara in Brachas, and the Gemara is here. So Hevdil al Shulchano, the Gemara calls it. He makes Abdallah, and he's going from Abdallah into the meal. Now, the Borei Pri HaGafen of Abdallah, does that cover the Borei Pri HaGafen of the meal? So ordinarily we say not. Abdallah has nothing to do with the meal, right? Abdallah is separating you from the Shabbos that passed, and the meal is what's about to begin. Two different things. But according to Rav, that Kiddush also has nothing to do with the meal. And yet, after Kiddush, I don't have to make another Borei Pri HaGafen in the meal.
Because you haven't changed location.
Because I haven't changed location. But Rav says, I don't care if the Kiddush has to do with the meal or not. You made a Borei Pri HaGafen, fine. So then Abdullah would be the same thing. Right. Because according to Rav, Kiddush isn't connected to the meal either. Right. Even though everyone agrees you can make Abdullah without a meal. So that's an interesting point that Tosus raises. Yeah.
Normally, we have normal laws about Hemshech HaSuda, right? When, you know, at what point is, you know, I made a bracha, how long can I continue using that bracha? So, I mean, the whole question here is, like, does that even apply? That's part of
it. Right.
Does that apply, or are there just totally different rules?
Right. So the question here is this connected? Is this whole, is the Kiddush here connected to the meal, or is it its own entity? Okay, so there's a lot here. The Tosus goes into, the one point I want to bring out of Tosus is that we end up that Abdullah is not a part of any meal. And one mistake that's very common in many people's houses, what I've seen, is that no one makes a bracha achrona after the wine of Abdullah. You drink wine, you made Abdullah, you drank it, and I haven't seen people make a bracha achrona. And I only realized it when I went to Rav Avraham Shapiro's zatzal. On Matzei Shabbos, he used to have guests in his house for Ma'ariv and Abdullah. He used to tell stories for the 20 minutes before Ma'ariv, and then Ma'ariv and Abdullah. And I noticed that the way he made Abdullah, he'd make Abdullah, drink the wine, and before he got up, he'd make a blessing after the wine. And that's another point that Tosus raises here. He says, really, this wine has nothing to do with anything else, the wine of Abdullah. And then he says, okay, so then you have to make a bracha achrona on this wine. If it doesn't have anything to do with anything else, then the blessing of the meal doesn't cover it either. Meaning we ordinarily, why don't we make a bracha achrona after the Kiddush wine? Because we say, I cover it with my meal, with my berachas hamazon, with my benching. But if it's not part of the meal, then it deserves its own bracha achrona. And that's the halacha I wanted us to take out of this Tosus. In our daily lives, we have to know that the Abdullah we make is not connected to any meal. It's not like Kiddush. Even if you're going to sit down, if you sit down and have a meal, then it's something that's discussed in halacha. Does it deserve its own bracha achrona or not? But I've never seen anyone sit down straight to the meal from Abdullah. So going with our regular lives, we have to remember that after Abdullah, we make a bracha achrona. Al hagefen v'al pri hagefen. Clear? Fair? Now we also understand the logic behind it. That's this Tosus. Onward, guys. Yes.
Is that strictly Ashkenaz minhag, or is also
what?
The bracha achrona after
Abdullah? Sure, everyone. It's not different.
I've never heard of any Sephardic family doing it.
Never seen anyone doing it. I'm telling you, until I got to Rabbi Avraham Shapiro, I never saw anyone make a bracha
achrona. Oh, okay, that's
what
I was thinking.
What?
I've never seen everyone doing it.
Everyone you've seen does a bracha achrona? Okay, good.
Okay, I think they
didn't buy
up
much. What?
I
think they
didn't buy
up much,
so it's, you know, limited crowd.
I haven't noticed, but, you know, I'm also a limited crowd, but I haven't noticed people making a bracha achrona on the Rav Abdullah.
Could be.
You know, Rav Avram, you're there to see everything he does. So, you know, when he did it, we noticed it. But, no. Okay. Onward. So Shmuel said, "Af yedei kiddush lo yatzu." Shmuel said that the people in shul they didn't do their obligation of kiddush either. Okay, onward. Says Rashi, top right Rashi, "Kiddush ela b'mkom suda, v'in kiddush velo saad lo yatzay yedei kiddush." So you remember we raised this question, how does that work? Retroactively, not retroactively, if he made Kiddush and he did not eat, so then he didn't fulfill his obligation of Kiddush. Now, notice the Rashbam, he quotes the same thing as Tosus. You guys see the Rashbam, Hafidei Kiddush Do Yatzu, he also quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya. I don't know where they get this Medrash from. The Rashbam first quotes the Tosfos' pasuk, and then he says inami. You have it, svarahu. Otherwise, maybe it's just logic. Midaik v'kedush alayayin, kedetanya lekaman zochreu alayayin, mistama alayayin shebishat tzuda ukva dechashiv. He says if it's instituted on wine, so then it would make sense that it's the wine at the time of the meal, because that's the important wine. Okay, I don't know. The Rashbam offers us two sources for this concept: Kiddush b'makom suda. Okay, I want us to see one more line in the Rashbam on the last page. The Rashbam says five lines from the bottom. Me'achal she'akru, end of the line. Me'achal she'akru min koman. He says that if people want to drink wine at home, they have to make another blessing because they left their place. Dehavilei hesech hada'at. The Rashbam tells us that switching places equals not being focused. You lost your focus. Meaning sometimes people think that switching places is like an EGBG thing. I made the blessing here, so it settles down here. If I go there, the blessing doesn't work. The Rashbam tells us it's a concept of hesech hadas. Meaning the idea is, are you still focused? We assume you switch places, you're not focused. Now, well, what about if you say, but I am focused, I maintain my concentration, that doesn't work. So why that doesn't work, that needs work. Okay, back to the Gemara. Guys, so far so good? Okay. So, basically what we've said is like this. According to Rav, we make Kiddush and Shul because there are a lot of people who won't have to make Kiddush at home by this. You know, people who don't have a family. If a person goes home, he heard Kiddush and Shul. So he's covered. In Chutz Laaretz, they have the custom, and here in Eretz Yisrael, I think only Hasidim do it, that they also make Abdullah and Shul. Now, we discussed previously that wine was very, very expensive. So this was very important. There's a point we should notice in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Banav ubnei beito. Who is bnei beito? We said Banav. Banav are his children. Who are bnei beito? His border. So bnei beito is his wife. Mm-hmm. Bear this in mind, because one day, Bezrat Shem, you'll learn a Jerusalem Talmud and Gemara and Brachos that have this big discussion. Who is bnei beito? Does bnei beito include his wife? Does bnei beito include his kids? This Gemara says, Banav ubnei beito, his sons and bnei beito, which over here seems to be obviously a code for his wife. Back to the Gemara. So we said, Shmuel says, Kiddush has to be at the place of the meal. Says the Gemara, Savu mina. The students thought, having heard Shmuel say, "En kiddush ela b'mokom suda," they thought, they understood from him, "Hani mili mi bayit le bayit." When do we say that kiddush has to be in the same place? That's only you shouldn't switch houses. You shouldn't go from one house to another house. You made kiddush in this house. Don't go to another house. Aval mi makom le makom bechad beit alo. But he wouldn't mind if you go from one place to another place in the same house, from the top floor to the second floor to the bottom floor. That Shmuel wouldn't mind. Amalu Ravanan bar Tachlifa. So Ravanan bar Tachlifa said to the other students, "You got it wrong. Zimnin sagin avekaim nakame de Shmuel. Many times I was before Shmuel. V'nachit meigra le'ara, and he went down from the top floor to the bottom floor to the ground floor. V'adam mekadesh." And he'd make Kiddush all over again. So you see, even in the same house, Shmuel held, you're not supposed to switch places. Make Kiddush and have the meal right there. And if you're going to start switching floors, going from the ground floor to the top floor to the ground floor, that constitutes a Shinui Mokum switching place, and then it's not Mekadesh Mimokum Suda. So this is where it gets a little tricky.
It brings in the focus again.
Well, the question is, how far do you go? I was in a shul now in Chicago where they make Kiddush in shul. The rabbi wants everyone focused. He knows once they go into the Kiddush hall, everyone's going to be talking and you won't hear a thing. So he makes Kiddush in shul, and then they all go out to the Kiddush hall to have the Kiddush. And no one makes Kiddush again, right? So how far of a distance or when do you start saying that you broke your concentration, that it's a shinui makom?
I think I saw Rabbi Lau do that in the Rabban Shul.
Yeah, okay, well, it's probably the... Let's see. V'af Rav Huna Savar, so we saw right now a quote. We don't know yet if the halacha is going to be like Shmuel on this point. Let's see the whole picture. You know, we have a few more stories we have to encounter, and then we'll have a better understanding of where the halacha is going. So Shmuel was quoted as being of the opinion that if you go from the top floor to the ground floor, you have to make another kiddush. That's already not kiddush b'makom suda. V'af Rav Huna Savar en kiddush lo b'makom suda. Rav Huna also felt that way. Now Rav Huna is a few generations down from Shmuel. Rav Huna was very short. Rav Huna was once seen by his Rebbe with a string tying his robe. He didn't have the belt. So his Rebbe asked him what happened. He said, I didn't have any money. I had to sell my belt to get kiddush wine. So he blessed him that he should be covered with silk. And when Rav Huna married off his kids, so because he was so short, they didn't notice he took a nap on a sofa over there. And they didn't notice him, and all his daughter-in-laws came into the room, and they all threw off their silk furs or whatever it was, their silk shawls or whatever it was, and when he woke up, he suddenly found himself on their mountain of silk. So he said, you see, the blessing came true. So Rav Huna, he was the generation of Rav Chisda. He was the generation of Rabba. He was the generation before Abaye and Rava. So Rav Huna, too, he held En Kiddush El Abimkom Suda. The Kiddush has to be at the location of the meal. The Rav Huna Kaddish, because Rav Huna made Kiddush, V'itakra Le'Shalga, and then his lamp fell, and so he doesn't have any light. That's no way to have your Shabbos meal in the dark. So what did he do? V'ayle Le'mane Le'bei Genane De'Rabba Brei, and he went to his son's feast. His son Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, was having a feast in honor of his wedding, and I guess he didn't feel like joining the party. He was going to have the meal on his own. He had enough of Sheva Brachas. But then God did him one over, and his lamp went out. So what's he going to do? So he took his dishes down to his son Rabba, to where they were having the party. The Avishalga, because over there they had light. V'kaddish v'ta'im midi, and he made Kiddush again. And then he ate something over there by his son, Rabba. Maybe he meant to join them after he finished his own meal. So, you see, Alma, you see, kasavar en kiddush el abimkom suda. Why did he have to make Kiddush all over again? He had made Kiddush before his lamp fell. Why did he make Kiddush again? You see, he held that you got to make Kiddush where you eat the meal. I was always bothered why he didn't take a bite before he left his house.
Yeah, even though it's dark.
Right. So maybe he was like me. He was always nervous there were bugs in his food. You know, I don't like eating in the dark. I can't see if I'm eating bugs or food. Right. I don't know. The Gemara also says that poor people, I don't know if at this point he was rich yet or he was poor. The Gemara says poor people eat by light, because if you see what you eat, so then you get fuller from it. If you eat in the dark, you don't get as much out of the food you eat. You don't see what you're eating. There are a few concepts like that. That if when you eat, you think about what you're eating, you're focused on what you're eating. These are good things that also help a person in general. If you stop and think, this is what I'm eating, and you chew it and enjoy every bite, you get much more with eating much less. You know, people can polish off a whole pack of chocolate and not feel like they ate it. And a person who takes one piece of chocolate and stops and thinks about that piece of chocolate will enjoy it much more.
I mean, I've dealt with that before, though. You can have a Shabbat where people bring out the meal one thing at a time, where you can enjoy it singly, or they bring it all out at once, and you feel like, I can't do this. There's absolutely no way I'm going to eat all this.
But it's up to us also, as far as focusing our senses. This is one of the classes we give Chatanim. That a person has control over his senses. And that can also, focusing on a specific sense, can cause that sense to have so much more pleasure than anything else. Meaning, if you focus on eating, if you focus on a smell, at every moment in life, we decide which senses to focus on.
Yeah.
And that's a choice. And it could be a conscious choice, or usually we do it on autopilot. So, Rav Huna, maybe that's why he went to eat the meal by his son. Ve'af Rabba savar in kiddush ela bimkom suda. So Rabba too, that's also a contemporary of Rav Huna, he also held kiddush has to be in the place of the meal. Now, until now, we do not know how we are going to paskin. We saw Tosfos, but we have to bear in mind that all the opinions that were quoted until now are predecessors of Abaye and Rava. And the rule we have is that until the generation of Abaye and Rava, ein halacha ketalmid bimkom harav. You don't paskin like the disciple in the presence of his teacher. So the latter opinions don't necessarily carry more weight than the former opinions. It's only from the generation of Abaye and Rava onward that we say halacha kebasroi. The halacha is like the latter opinion. So when Tosfos said to us, well, we're not going to paskin like Rav, even though Rav Yochanan went with Rav, because Rav Huna went like Shmuel, said in Kiddush of Makom Suda, and Rabba went like Shmuel, so those weren't such heavy proofs. The second he said, Abaye went like Shmuel, that's a heavy proof. Because from the generation of Abaye and Rava onward, we say, Allah kebasroi. So, the Gemara says, Rabba, who was the Rebbe of Abaye and Rava, he was primarily the Rebbe of Rava, and he was the adoptive father of Abaye's, right? Rabba Bar Nachmani adopted Abaye, whose real name was Nachmani. He didn't want to keep calling him by his own father's name. Rabba's father's name was Nachmani. The adopted kid's name is Nachmani. He doesn't want to call him by his adopted father's name, so he called him Abaye. You're the name of my father. Abaye is also an acronym for Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom. In you, God is the mercy for the orphan. Abaye lost his father when his mother was pregnant, and his mother died at childbirth. So Rabba Bar Nachmani, the chief rabbi, adopted him. So Rabba too held that Kiddush has to be in the place of the meal. Damar Abaye, because Abaye said, Ki avina beimar. When I was at the house of the Rebbe, and we have to note, when one rabbi calls the other rabbi Mar, the Gemara assumes it is a disciple talking about his Rebbe. The Gemara will often analyze, did he call him Mar or didn't he call him Mar? Because that gives us a halachic weight. If one called the other Mar, that means he felt the other one was bigger than him. He was learning from him. And we just said, depending on the generation, sometimes that would mean that the Rebbe has more halachic weight, and sometimes it would mean that the disciple has more halachic weight, depending on which generation. But the Gemara sometimes focuses in and says, but in their conversations he didn't call him Mar, so that means he didn't hold he was his teacher, and so then he doesn't have a greater halachic weight, he's not his Rebbe. So here, Abaye, when referring to Rabba, he says, when I was in the house of Mar, when I was in the house of my Rebbe, Rabba, ki hava mikadesh, when he would make Kiddush, and we'd want to go home to our own houses, we'd accompany him home, they'd walk the rabbi home, they'd walk into the house, he'd make Kiddush, and this used to be a custom in Europe as well, that the Kehillah would accompany the rabbi home and hear him make Kiddush, and then they'd all go to their own houses. So Abaye says we would all accompany Rabba Bar Nachmani home, and he'd make Kiddush. Amalan, he would tell us, te'imumidi, taste something. And here you see, you don't have to have a full-fledged meal. It's enough to taste something. Dilma ad azlitu le'ushpiza, maybe, by the time you get back to your host, mitakra lechushalga, your candles, your lamps are going to fall, they're going to be finished. Ve'lo mekadesh lechu bebeit achila, and you won't end up having kiddush in the place where you're eating. Meaning, even if you're going to go to your host and you'll go to sleep, but maybe you're going to come back and it's going to be too late. Everything, the whole meal is going to be over by the time you get home. The lights are going to be out. And then you won't have kiddush where you ate. And then my kiddush over here wasn't enough for you. Then kiddush labimkom suda. Because the kiddush must be at the location of the meal. So Rabba held they have to eat something. But you see they don't have to eat the full meal. Yeah. Eini, the Gemara questions, and on a different occasion we'll delve into this word. It can be read Eini or Eini, two different words, two different questions. But okay, for now we'll just read it as a question. Eini, is this so? Ve'amar Abaye, but didn't Abaye say, Kol mili demar rav avid kerav? Abaye said, all the words of the rabbi. Who's he quoting? Who's his rabbi? Rabba Bar Nachmani, Rabba. Remember, the He is in the name of Rabba. Yehei Shmei Rabba. The He is in the name of Rabba. So Rabba. Abaye is quoting his Rebbe, Rabba. He said, everything my teacher, Rabba, did, he used to do like Rav, Lebal Me'anitla David Kishmuel, except for three exceptions that he did like Shmuel. Let's skip down three lines. Answers the Gemara. Four lines from the bottom. Kechumre derav have avid. He used to do like the stringencies of Rav. Here it's a leniency of Rav, right? Rav says, if you make kiddush, you don't have to eat the meal at that place. It's good enough without the meal. That's a leniency. Kekule derav lo have avid. But he did not do all the leniencies of Rav. So that's the Gemara's answer. So don't tell me, well, how could Rabba, didn't Rabba say he did everything like Rav, and yet Rav held you don't need to make kiddush at the place of the meal? That's he did like the stringencies of Rav. That's a leniency of Rav, and in this he went like Shmuel, that you have to do kiddush at the place of the meal. So far so good? Okay, now we're going to have to look, as we continue learning, if we find another source for this idea that Abaye is also of the opinion that kiddush has to be at the location of the meal. Remember, Tosfos said, we're going to paskin like Shmuel against Rav and Rav Yochanan. We're going to say that kiddush must be at the location of the meal because Rabba, Rav Huna, and Abaye went like him. And we said, of all of those, who are we most interested in? Abaye. And the question is, are we going to see an overt place where Abaye goes like Shmuel? Where Abaye says, kiddush must be at the location of the meal. Because we don't really need an overt place. The assumption in Shas, we have two assumptions in Shas that help us here. One assumption is that students hold like their Rebbe. Especially if they're quoting their Rebbe. That's assumption number one. Student holds like his Rebbe, unless proven otherwise. Assumption number two is that when someone quotes something, he holds like what he is quoting. Even if it isn't his Rebbe. If you quote something, we assume you hold it. Even if you're quoting what someone else said, the assumption is you hold it too, and that's why you will find throughout the Shas, sometimes you have a quote. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Bar Bar Chana quoted Rabbi Yochanan, you have a whole long quote. Then the Gemara says, is that so? ? And then the Gemara says, well, Rabba Bar Bar Chana will tell you this. So you say, wait a second, but Rabba Bar Bar Chana was only quoting. Isn't the question focused on Rabbi Yochanan? Rabba Bar Bar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan, and then the Gemara focuses on, can Rabba Bar Bar Chana answer this or not? The reason is, whenever we have a quote, the assumption is we have two votes. The one quoted, and the one doing the quoting. Anyone that's quoting, the assumption is he holds it too. Sometimes the Gemara will say, he quoted it, v'leilo svirale, but he doesn't hold that way. But those are the exceptions. The general assumption in the Talmud is that whatever you quote, you believe it. You hold. Sometimes it's not that way. But that gives us a new halachic way. That means that when we have a quote, we have the weight of the one being quoted plus the one quoting it. That gives more halachic weight to that opinion. So here, technically, we have two reasons why we would assume that Abaye also holds it. He's doing the quoting, and he's quoting his own Rebbe, Rabba. And that second claim is a little weak because his real Rebbe was Rav Yosef, Rabba's contemporary. He grew up by Rabba, but his prime Rebbe was really Rav Yosef. But the fact that he's quoting it is already halachic way. Okay, so let's summarize what we saw today. We saw that we began with where do we begin? We began with people who have kiddush and shul. Rav said they fulfilled their kiddush, but when they get home, they have to make a new birkas hanenin. We discussed the different breaks in birkas hanenin. We discussed the birkas hanenin and kiddush. We discussed that when Chazal align it, sometimes it has the criterion a little bit of birkas hamitzvos, which is why you could sometimes make kiddush for someone else. We discussed Tosfos over here and Rashi and the Rashbam. When they get back home, we discuss the story of Abdullah. We discuss talking after Birchas Hanenin, talking after Kiddush, that the one who made Kiddush was Yotze. You were Yotze Kiddush if you didn't talk before he drank. He made Kiddush, he made a Birchas Hanenin, he drank, you're Yotze. But if you talk now, you can't drink from the wine anymore. You have to make a new bracha if you're going to drink from the wine. Yeah? We brought Tosus that says the Chatchila, everyone around the table should taste from the wine. You don't have to taste from the same wine he's tasting. You could have your own cup of wine. But we brought that Lechatchila, everyone should have a sip of some wine after he made the blessing Bori Pri HaGafen. Tosu said the halacha seems to be like Shmuel. We saw the Tosus down here that about Shinui Mokom. And then Tosus discussed that according to Rav, Kiddush is its own entity not connected to the meal. And then it would require its own Bracha Achrona, or it could patter up the wine in the meal. We said this has applications to our Havdalah, that after Havdalah we should make a Bracha Achrona. It's not connected to any meal. We saw Bnei Beso, we discussed the Yerushalmi, we discussed the Bnei Beso, and this Gemara seems to be the family. We discussed the concept, we discussed the concept of Kiddush Benkom Suda. Tosus quoted the Pasuk, V'karasa L'Shabbos Oneg. The Rashbam offered an alternative. He says maybe it's only logical that if Chazal wanted us to commemorate Shabbos over wine, so then it's the important wine, the wine that's with the meal. That was two options in the Rashbam. We said, according to Shmuel, why do we make Kiddush in Shul? If you're not Yotze Kiddush, we said it's for the guests who are going to eat there. We said that going from one floor to another floor in the same house would also constitute a change of a place. And Tosfos over here learns a little differently than Rashi in the Rashbam. Tosfos says, "Aval mimakom lemakom bechad beita," but transferring places in one home. Tosfos says, "Mecheder lebayit or mebayit la'aliyah." It's from a room to the house. I don't know what Tosfos means by cheder lebayit. From corner to corner, it's okay, but maybe from one room to another, Tosfos would hold it's not good. And then we brought stories of other opinions that go in line with this, that Kiddush has to be in the location of the Suda. And next week we'll begin again with this quote that Rav did everything like that Rabba did everything like Rav, except for the three exceptions, and we'll discuss the three exceptions and their halachic implications, the laws of tzitzis, the laws of Hanukkah candles, the laws of Shabbos. They're very important examples. We'll start here, Bezlat Shem, next week.